Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Do not be afraid. Jesus is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Risen Christ, who has called us to worship, now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life, grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of the Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Ghost be glory and honor, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Christ himself bore our sin in his body on the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. Trusting God's grace in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sin together. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from the grave and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the way of the world and failed to give him glory. Forgive us, O God. Help us to trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of abundant life given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord.
Hear the good news. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those who believe, bestowing forgiveness and life. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the resurrection faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church on this Easter morning. Whether you are worshiping with us in person or online, you are most welcome here. And we pray that you will experience the risen Christ here today. A special welcome to any visitors who are with us today. If you are visiting with us or have a prayer request you'd like to share with us, I would invite you to fill out the connection card, which is right in front of you in the pew, and place it in the offering plate when it comes around so we can have an opportunity to greet you more fully. I have a couple of announcements this morning. Following our service in the sanctuary here, we are holding our Easter brunch down in Holman Hall. So if you have nowhere to go this morning, you are most welcome to join us for time of food and fellowship as we continue to celebrate the resurrection. I also want to bring to your attention next Sunday, the first Sunday after Easter, for a special service of Easter lessons and hymns. So Easter lessons and hymns. We will also be celebrating the Hebron Day School Sunday, that morning, when we will welcome and pray for the teachers, students, and family of the Hebron Day School. There will also be a big special announcement concerning the day school, so we hope that you will come and celebrate with us next Sunday. As you leave from this place this morning, if you are a child or a child at heart, we have a special treat. There will be Easter eggs for everyone, child or child at heart. So please come and get your egg from me as you leave this morning. Let us return to worship, and I would invite those children who are here with us to come down and to join me in the front for our children's message. And parents too. Do you want her to come sit down here? She's right here.
I'm a child of God.
Okay, good morning, my friends. Good morning. Today we're going to read a story from this book called For Such a Time as This, Stories of Women in the Bible. And our story this morning is called Alive. Alive, the story of Mary Magdalene and the resurrection. So I'll show you the picture first. Oh, look at that. Very nice. When Mary from the town of Magdalene met Jesus, she suffered from something terrible. She was possessed by 7 demons. Jesus healed her, calling the evil out of her body, and she had been a loyal follower of him ever since. In the days when she walked with Jesus, she was in awe of the way that he loved people. She had seen him performing miracles and teaching those around him, and she wanted to be true to him for her entire life. She had been in the crowd on the day that the darkness filled the sky, and she cried as she saw her precious Savior dying on the cross. Alongside her friends and other followers of Jesus, she was devastated by his death. She was devastated to have lost the one who meant so much to her, and she couldn't imagine living her days without him. Before the sun had come up the next day, she was hurrying to his tomb to finish preparing his body for burial. She wasn't strong enough to move the stone, and she wasn't sure what she would do when she got there. When at last she reached the tomb, her blood ran cold. The stone was gone. She and the other women who traveled with her peered into the tomb and were shocked to see someone dressed in white and seated inside. "Do not be afraid," he responded. "Jesus isn't here anymore." It was clear that he was gone, and the women didn't know what to do. Their beloved Jesus must have been stolen in the night, and now all that remained were his grave clothes, folded and set to one side. "He has arisen," the angels exclaimed, "just as he told you he would." But they didn't know what to believe. They thought they should tell the disciples what had happened. So they ran away to find them. Later, Mary was weeping outside the tomb, still grieving the death of Jesus. And she heard a voice speaking gently. "Woman," the voice said, "why are you crying?" "Because they have taken my Lord," she sobbed, "and I don't know where they've put him." Turning her head, she saw a man that she didn't recognize. He asked her why she was so upset, and because she thought he was a gardener, she begged for him to tell her where the body of Christ had been taken. "Mary," she heard, but this time she recognized the voice. It wasn't another angel, and it wasn't a gardener as she had first thought. It was Jesus, alive and well. "Teacher," she shouted, standing to her feet and rushing towards him.
After all the days and nights and all the promises and power, this was what they had waited for. He stood in front of her, his hands and feet still wounded, but his lungs and limbs full of life. There was no other explanation. This man was the promised one. "Go and tell the others," he whispered. And before she could think, she was forced to her feet, one in front of the other as she stumbled to get her balance to run. It was true. It was all true. She had been devastated by his death. But all along, he had known that this was the next part of the plan. He had to go through such a dark and terrible ordeal in order to get to this, where 3 days had passed and everyone thought he was gone forever. You see Mary with Jesus? When the earth shook and everything seemed undone, the Lamb of God was prepared to return. And 3 days after his death, he did exactly that. All the armies and disbelief in the world couldn't stop him, and to this day, they still haven't. We don't get to see him the way Mary did, with her eyes wide and her heart pounding, but we do still encounter the risen Lord. And when we believe in him, we tell him so. We receive the same amazing gifts as the robber on the cross beside him. Forever life with God in heaven, the likes of which we cannot begin to comprehend. And that's the story that we remember and celebrate today. So as you go about your Easter celebrations, maybe you see the flowers on the cross, or maybe you have an Easter egg hunt to go to, or maybe you get one of the Easter eggs from me, you can remember this story, that Jesus is alive. Will you pray with me? Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
The adults can join in. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For raising Jesus.
For raising Jesus.
From the dead.
From the dead.
Teach us.
Teach us.
What it means.
What it means.
To live. Resurrection life.
Resurrection life.
In his name.
We pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back and sit down.
Let us turn to God again in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, living Word, as you revealed yourself to Mary that Easter morning, so reveal yourself to us. By the power of your Spirit, give each of us faith that hearing your word, we too may proclaim, I have seen the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Luke, starting the 24th chapter and the first verse. Listen now to God's word. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in the Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Why do we tell family stories? We've all got them. Maybe it's about that disastrous camping trip you went on as a kid, or that one holiday with your wacky uncle. Maybe it's the story of how your grandparents came to this country to build a new life for themselves. Or maybe it's the story of the home your parents built with their bare hands. Why do we tell these stories? This past summer, I had the opportunity to hear some of my own family stories when my grandmother came to visit. She lives in Wyoming. She also happens to watch our stream. She lives in Wyoming, so this was the golden opportunity to hear her life story and that of our ancestors. We all sat down, opened the recording app on our phones, and simply listened. This experience got me thinking, why do we tell family stories? Why is there this incessant need in humanity to share what has come before? Every holiday or reunion, swapping the same old stories year after year. If, as some in our world think, the past has nothing to offer us, why don't we just jettison these stories and focus on the future? Well, it seems to me that we continue to tell these stories because we are looking to the future. We're not looking backwards to stay in the past, because we are looking to what is to come. When we forget our stories, we are liable to do the same mistakes that others did before us. We are liable to forget where we've come from and who we are. Telling and retelling our shared stories can give us a sense of what could be and would provide us the means with which to face the future with hope. Well, as we meet the women at the tomb, we can be sure that remembering stories was not on their minds. They were coming to mourn. Only 3 days ago, their beloved teacher and friend had been brutally executed, hung on the cross. They had watched him die. Soon after, he was placed in the tomb and a stone was rolled across its entrance. The women decided to prepare spices to cover his body as one last act of devotion for the man that they loved. They expected Jesus to be dead. The dead usually stay dead. And in a way, his death would have just been another in a long line of deaths in a society that itself was characterized by death. The Roman Empire, under which these women lived, promised the good life. They promised modernity, the Pax Romana. But in reality, they were instruments of oppression and murder. Jesus's was probably not the first crucifixion they had seen, as everywhere they traveled, the streets were lined with the so-called enemies of the empire. They were surrounded by death under the weight of oppression, and there was no sign of its end. There was no hope for the future. Only a life of futile laboring until eventually they found themselves in their own graves. Jesus' execution for these women was the death knell on any chance of hope that they had in the world. So, what a surprise then that waited them when they came to the tomb, only to find the stone rolled away and Jesus' body nowhere in sight. The text says that they were perplexed, but this, I can assure you, is an understatement. I'm not sure many of us have seen a dead body rise. Perplexed is the least of our thoughts. The first words that met them in their shock were those of the angels. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. If any phrase could turn one's world upside down, it was this one. What the angels proclaimed to these women was nothing less than tangible hope. Tangible hope. Hope that things could be different. Hope that their lives could be different. Before, the only real possibilities were suffering and the grave. Life was always a dead end. But now, the society of death that was their daily living would not be the final word, because Jesus was not dead, but risen. Now, because of the resurrection, now there was possibility. Now there was a chance for abundant life, because death itself had been defeated. The fullness of this new reality made possible was not apparent to the women at first. But then again, the angels spoke. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Now the woman looked back at all that Jesus had said and done while they were with him, and they remembered. And as they looked on what was before them, the empty tomb, they remembered that this was not new information. It was the fulfillment of all Jesus had promised. The women just didn't know that they knew. They didn't know that they knew. But as they remembered what Jesus had said and done and what now was the evidence before them, they realized that they were then recipients of that same possible, new, abundant life from Jesus. In that moment of remembrance, the women were transported, as it were, from the world of death to God's kingdom of life. They were transformed then into witnesses of that same kingdom. Before the angels even finished speaking, they ran with this good news and to proclaim it to the disciples, to say, "He is risen. He is risen indeed." Friends, the resurrection enables us to remember who we are and to receive abundant life in a world that ultimately can only deal death. You know as well as I do that there is much in our world that promises life. Money, sex, drugs, political power, social influence, even a comfortable retirement or yearly vacations. All of these things promise to give us the most out of our living, abundant life. But these ultimately end in death. Simply look at the evidence. We have been chasing these things for generations, and our society is lonelier than ever, more addicted than ever, more depressed than ever, more polarized than ever, more alienated than ever. The up-and-coming generation, Gen Z, has been described as the most nihilistic group in decades. We have forgotten who we are. We have forgotten whose we are. And in this world, there seems to be no life, no hope, and no sign that it will ever change. Yet Christ rising from the grave means that there is hope, tangible hope. Hope because there is a new tomorrow. Hope because life is possible, not from the world, but from the one who is life itself. As it says in the Gospel of John, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. Or as Jesus stated, I am the way, the truth, and the life. As you put your faith, as you put your trust in him, you are then made recipients of that grace and abundant resurrection life. Loneliness, mental illness, oppression, addiction, polarization, alienation, all the powers and principalities of this world will not be your end, because you have been transferred from the world of death into God's kingdom of life in Jesus Christ. It's not that belief in Jesus will instantly make our lives perfect. We still live in a world marred by sin. But it means that our living will not be a dead end, and that true life is now possible. This resurrection reality is easy to forget in the midst of our living, in the trials and the temptations and the ups and downs. And so we tell this story again and again, year after year, that like the women, we would remember the abundant life we have been given. And so as you are continuously met by the brokenness and the evil of our world, the promise of the resurrection is that Jesus will meet you again and again with his resurrection life. And as you come to him, this true story becomes your family story, as you now belong to God, that kingdom family that he has claimed. The resurrection enables us to remember who we are and to receive true and abundant life in Christ. And that's real hope for the future. Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you and give you thanks for the hope we have in Jesus, who died but is risen and rules over all. We praise you for his living presence with us. Because he lives, we look for eternal, abundant life, knowing that nothing past, present, or yet to come can separate us from your great love in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. With boldness, we approach your throne, lifting to you our prayers. Father in heaven, we worship you for all the might, power, and creativity by which you won the victory in Christ. Yet because we cannot and must not forget the darkness of sin that even still is around us, we pray for all people who continue to feel crucified by a cruel world and yet do not perceive any Easter. For victims of war, of violence and oppression, for those who mourn, or those who feel the emptiness of loved ones far away, for all who suffer this day in body, mind, or spirit. Meet all these with your grace and life, and help us to minister to all in need. Blessed Jesus, we worship you, for in rising from the dead, you crashed into our reality with something new and unexpected. Your rising and reigning gives us hope and calls us to testify to your goodness. Equip us each new day to be bold witnesses of Easter news. We pray for all your people around the world who celebrate this day in joy. Unite us in faith and empower us by your Spirit to resist the powers of death and evil. And we pray for this congregation, which you have called Hebron. Increase our joy and faith in believing, and grant us courage to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in Goochland County and beyond. Holy Spirit, we worship you, for by your power you turn us from the path of death to the road of obedience and abundant life. Sustain us, strengthen our resolve, and help us to live our lives in resurrection-shaped gratitude, hope, and peace. Hear us now as we name before you our cares in the quiet of our hearts. All praise to you, O Holy Three and One and Glory. We lift to you these our prayers in the power of the Spirit and in union with Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, praying as he taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us give thanks to the Lord with all our being. In the company of the upright, let us honor God for the blessings and goodness we have received. As recipients of abundant life in Jesus Christ, let us now offer our gifts to God.
us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you first have given us, ourselves, our time, our possessions, all signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Friends, the resurrection enables us to remember who we are and to receive abundant and true life in Christ. So go from this place in joy and live that resurrection-shaped life. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace this day, always. Amen. Amen.